both in an emotional and interpersonal sense. Our words have power. But also, as people of the book, we say, we believe that the very words of God actually created the world, all that we see. In the same way, the very words that we speak to each other, speak to one another, whether positive or negative, they can have a very physical effect on the way that that things are, the way our bodies actually function. Even right now, something interesting is happening. I'm getting a little help from the speakers, you know, the little amplification, but air that I take into my lungs is being formed into words, being formed into words by the vocal cords, by some physical interaction in my throat here somewhere. And those sound waves, with a little help from the speakers, are physically interacting with the tiny little, you know, drum in your ear. They're literally reaching out and touching you. Words have power. In this series, we're talking about one who was sent. We're talking about one who was sent to claim a crown, one who was sent to be king, one who was sent to be our Lord. But we're also talking about someone who was sent as a good king, one who was sent to rescue, as we heard. And all of that is good news, right? Which means that Jesus was also the sent one to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the coming of the kingdom. Jesus became both the messenger and the actual message itself. He is the best word sent into the world to proclaim the coming of the kingdom. He is the word made flesh, we say. That word has power. Listen to the words at the beginning of Isaiah 61, which is our passage for today. Isaiah starts off, he says, the Spirit, and this should be, feel very familiar to us. It's how Jesus opens, kind of breaks onto the scene when he steps into the synagogue and reads in the chapter of in Luke 4. But it goes back to this chapter in Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Right from the start, by the very beginning, Isaiah establishes that the messenger foreshadowed in this passage for the week will speak from a place of power and authority derived from being anointed. This is significant because the term anointed is intimately tied with the title of Messiah, which we celebrate. In the Hebrew language, Messiah actually, it means anointed one. Isaiah tells us that the coming messenger will be God's anointed one, empowered by the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. This puts this messenger, this coming messenger, this sent one, in line with the prophets and kings of old, but as we will come to see, he will be greater than any of them who came before. The coming messenger is the Messiah. He is God's sent one on a mission to proclaim the kingdom's arrival. He is the Word, and that Word has power and authority. Next, Isaiah tells us that the messenger will use that power and authority to make a real difference in the lives of people he is sent to. The message is not just a nice word. It's not just an inspirational, warm, and fuzzy word. Not just for clarifying and for insight around Hebrew theology. Although it did that too, right? This word recreates the world around it. It changes things. Makes a difference. The broken are healed. The mourning find comfort. The prisoner is set free. And the captives leave their chains. Jesus was sent to a real people with real lives in need of good news. And Jesus became that good news that he was sent to proclaim. And it changed things. Jesus knew exactly who he was being sent to. And he knew exactly what would be good news to them. This isn't always such an easy thing to imitate, although we are called to do that as disciples of Jesus. We're called to become like Jesus, right? But it's not always so easy. Have you ever had good news that you just couldn't wait to share with someone? I mean, you were sure it was going to be good news, and you just couldn't wait. And, you know, you sit down, you got this kind of stupid grin on your face, and it just kind of blurts out, and it's met with a blank stare. Like you just got it wrong. It wasn't such good news. Or at least it just didn't quite matter. Maybe it was good news to you and you just totally got it wrong. It's not good news to anybody else. This happens to me. It's never happened. I mean, I'm getting blank stares. No? It's happened to me once or twice. Not anytime recently, for sure. Well, what about this? Maybe it's more kind of to the season at time. You ever worked really hard to pick out a gift? Maybe for Christmas or for a birthday or something like that. And you had it, and it was so hard to keep it a secret, but you tucked it away, and then you wrapped it carefully, and you put it under the tree, or you get handed over, and you wait with anticipation as they unwrap it, and then they open it up, and it turns out they don't need it because they just bought it for themselves. Or maybe you convinced yourself that something you needed was actually something they needed, so it really was just good news to you again. No? This happens. I know it does. But those are just the times where we are actually trying to be good news, but we don't get it quite right. What happens, though? What happens when we have times when we actively, like on purpose and with intentionality, become bad news? We are meant to become like Jesus. We are meant to be good news to the world around us. I think we all know that. We accept that. And the world desperately needs us to be good news. But sometimes the brokenness, the grief, the chains that hold us captive, they just pile up wound after wound to the point where we become bad news instead. And I want to tell you a story. Some parts of it will be familiar to some of you. You may have heard some of it before. But I want to tell you a story about my own life in a time, a quite extended time, really, that I became bad news. At points along the way, I knew exactly what I was doing. At other points, I was oblivious and didn't really know so much what was going on. And I want you to think about, as you listen, as I tell my story, has there ever been a time in your life when, because of all the pain and brokenness, because of the wounds that you hide from the world, because of your own desperate need for good news, has there ever been a time when you became bad news? Maybe that's even where you're at right now in some way. And my hope is maybe my story will trigger a little introspection about your own story. See, I can remember growing up when I was quite young. I was a child that was a lot like my oldest child, Haley. And if you know Haley, sorry for picking on you, Haley, but if you know Haley, you know that words are important. Words feel powerful. Haley has a lot of words, and they just kind of come out. She can't even hold them in. Fair enough? Yeah, you guys know it's true. I was a lot like that. I would often, and sometimes seemingly just out of the blue, tell my parents, they were driving down the road in traffic or whatever, hey, mom, I love you. Or, I love our family. Or, I love our broken down van. Or, I love that shiny red bike out there. Or, whatever. I mean, just words felt, the world felt full of joy and life and color. And the words just had to get out. They would just come out. And I imagine that, you know, in that way, and like most children to their parents, in some way, shape, or form, it was good news to my parents. Right? I mean, is there anything quite like the love of a child? Or the joy of a child? But then our family experienced brokenness. And the first significant brokenness I can remember in my story, in the form of divorce. And then, you know, my parents, I know I knew nothing about it at the time, but looking back, you know, thinking about how hard that is, that moment, and then the journey after, and all the brokenness and all the fighting, all the bitterness and all the, you know, like, who gets what friends? I mean, I can't even imagine as those lives get torn apart, that which was knitted together is torn apart and lost in their own pain and things like that. My world was shattered. And the words that felt important and like I couldn't contain became fewer and fewer. And the child that couldn't help but say, you know, they couldn't go an hour without saying, hey, I love you, mom, started to stay quiet, started to hold them in. And then as I grew a little more and my voice started to change and my face and appearance and mannerism started to reflect that of my father, I started to be the recipient of my mom's kind of hidden wounds and hidden anger and hidden bitterness. I don't think she knew what was going on. I certainly didn't know what was going on, but I would say something, and I would get this lash of anger that I knew nothing about. And it started this cold war between us to the point where in sixth or seventh grade, sometime in middle school, I made a decision that in order to get back and punish and fight a war that I didn't understand, the kid who couldn't go an hour without saying, I love you, made a decision that my mom would never hear those words again. And so from sometime in middle school till after I was in college, I held it in. And my mom, who was already in enough pain and experiencing enough wounds, had even more tacked on. I mean, does it get any worse than that? That's bad news, right? It's bad news. And then in my freshman year in college, I finally started to let Jesus into my life. Jesus found a way into the prison that I had built for myself. And little by little, brick by brick, what was ruined, what was wrecked, started to be rebuilt. What was broken started to be bound up and healed. But there was still this one dark corner, this one wound, this bitterness that I felt entitled to, that I didn't let anyone touch, that I didn't let Jesus in, let the light shine on. I held on to that one. Couldn't go there. And then after my freshman year of college, Gina and I were down at a summer-long mission project, and I had a mentor that recognized that bitterness that I held on to. And over multiple milkshakes at McDonald's and careful explanation of the gospel, of the good news, he walked me to that wound, that dark corner, and we let Jesus in. And that which had been long abandoned, long thought wrecked and ruined beyond repair,
was healed. And I gave it up. And that was good news. But he didn't let me stay there. There's this whole idea in the Bible about being blessed to be a blessing and all. And he turned right at that moment and said, you know what? You need to be good news to your mom right now. I was like, you know, you're right. You're exactly right. I'll do that when I get home. He's like, no, there's this invention called the telephone. Works really well. We can call your mom today and you can reconcile and be good news. It's like, okay. And so this is long before cell phones and things like that. So we were a whole bunch of college students sharing one phone. And when we got back to the apartments that we were staying in, there was a line. There was like two people waiting to use the phone. I was like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. He's like, no, we'll do it today. We'll wait. I'll wait with you. And so as we waited, people talking to their boyfriends back home or whatever, my anxiety level started to go up. But finally, it was my turn. And the guy that was helping me, he just sat down right next to me, smiling, nodding. I dialed my mom's phone number. She picked up, and I did my best. Honestly, I don't remember exactly what, but I did my best to explain that what Jesus had been doing, the good, you know, that I been experiencing good news. And then for the first time in years and years, first time that either of us probably could remember, I said the words, I love you, Mom. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being bad news for all those years. And that was good news. In that moment, I was sent to a particular person. And I was able to become what God wanted to say to my mom. By just simply saying, restoring hope. Right at that moment, she needed to know that despite all that had happened, despite the wreck that history, our family, you know, all the pain that we went through, despite all that, God can fix, God can bring healing, God can restore and rebuild. And I want to tell you, it made a difference. Over time, it made a difference. Our relationship was rebuilt and restored, and joy was brought back. And what was, you know, what had been left in ruins, what I had torched as a kid, was rebuilt, restored. God declared beautiful. See, Jesus was sent both as the messenger and the message, and that message is good news still to this day. We are called to be disciples of the sent one, and that means that our lives need to look more and more like the life of Jesus, and we need to do the things that Jesus did, which means we are sent into the world as good news. But before we can be good news to the rest of the world, we need to let Jesus be good news to us. And I don't care how many times you've said yes to Jesus or how long ago it was that you said yes. I don't know how, you know, I don't care how many times. We're not big on altar calls or come to Jesus moments necessarily, you know, in the branch, or but maybe you've been at a conference, or I mean, I don't know how many times. Personally, you know, I've accepted Jesus in my heart dozens of times, right? And it feels a little weird, and it feels like I should have grown up beyond that. But the truth is that every day, you and I need the good news. You and I need the gospel. We need to come to Jesus every day. Sometimes I think we get so concentrated on proclaiming the good news to the world around that we forget each day the pain and the brokenness and the mess of this world accumulates in our hearts, and we need the gospel. We need to let Jesus be good news to us today. And so I want to ask. I want to dig in just a little bit, if you'll let me. You know, like, what broken places in your life need binding so that they can heal. Jesus is here to comfort you, to draw you close and walk beside you in your pain. Arm in arm. Just like my mentor waited with me, beside me, made sure I dialed that phone. Jesus is here to walk with you towards healing. No matter what. What in your life lies in ruins? What's wrecked and needs restoration? You mourning the loss of a loved one, or even the pain that comes when little by little, small parts of you die as dreams go unrealized, as you are not the person that you think you should be or the world says you should be. Where are you believing the identity that the world puts you in or puts upon you? Jesus takes the ashes of our ruined life and trades them for a crown of beauty. And you know, it strikes me that this is not the airbrushed unreality of fashion magazines, where the imperfections are simply airbrushed over or smudged out. I love the gritty truth of it, that we are described as clay pots, broken jars, cracked jars, put back together with all the scars, with all the truth of that brokenness, but put back together, made whole, and declared beautiful. Jesus has come to rebuild what was torn apart and knocked down, to restore what was once abandoned. Stone by stone, brick by brick, he reconstructs and restores what time and tragedy have destroyed. Places long thought abandoned will be filled with life again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is here in you, with us. Healing is possible. Are you held captive by sin or addiction or maybe the oppression of others, relationships that just don't work? Jesus is the good King. And under his reign and in his kingdom, you are released from the chains that bind. You are set free from that cell that you may, even if you built it yourself, you're set free. Even in this moment, the Spirit speaks to your heart, our hearts right now. The chains can fall to the floor. The doors are unlocking and opening. You are set free at the very sound of his voice, because his voice has power and authority. Do you trust that this message of hope and healing is for you? Are you so busy trying to figure out a way to heal others, a way to proclaim it to others, that you're just walking through life with that wound unattended, with that dark corner of your life that you don't let anyone into, not even the light of Christ? So I want to just create a little space. Just a little space for you to answer those questions. Where are you broken? Where do you need healing? It'd be really easy to let pride take over right now. To think we should have grown spiritually beyond the need for this. Don't let that happen. allow Jesus to be good news to you today, in this moment. What part of your life, what part of your story have you just given up as a bad job and left in ruins? Let Jesus in. Let the Spirit restore. When Jesus arose out of the waters of baptism, before he did anything, before he had healed, before he had done anything miraculous, the Father, God, spoke down, said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I love." Listen to him. Before anything that we can do, and because Jesus is the good news, all of that is true of you and I. Before you are of any use in the kingdom, you are a daughter, you are a son, you are loved, and God is pleased. That's the good news. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is what God the Father is longing to say. And you and I need to hear it and allow it to touch the broken places of our lives just as much as the world out there that doesn't even know how to listen for what God is trying to say. But then in the same way that I couldn't just sit there in McDonald's as the recipient of healing and wholeness, we need to then make that turn and become what God is trying to say to the world. It can't stop with just our restoration. It can't end with you and I experiencing the power of the Word in our own lives this morning. To a world that could no longer hear Him, God sent a messenger, one that could live and minister and bring healing and become the message. This is the one we follow. This is our master. This is who we are apprenticed to. And having experienced whole healing of that messenger, it is now our job to imitate Jesus, to become the word, the message that God wants to say to the world that still can't hear his voice. So I'll leave us with just two questions. Who is God sending you to? Who is God sending you to? And what is good news to them? Or maybe a better way, how can you become what God wants to say to them? Oh, sounds simple. Or maybe they're not so easy to answer. The first one, I think, you know, Jesus again is our guide, is our example. And it wasn't a big mystery. He sent, do you remember in Luke 10 when he sent the disciples and his followers out two by two? If you don't remember that story, maybe, you know, go check it out this week or something like that. But he sent them out and he said, you know, don't bring any extra stuff. Just go proclaim the good news and see who listens to you. See who's a person of peace to you. That's how you know who I'm sending you to. Who listens to you? Who welcomes you? Who becomes a friend? Who feeds you? Who serves you food? It's pretty simple stuff, but it's pretty specific. Who listens to you? Who welcomes you? Who serves you? You don't have to, you know, like, go proclaim the good news and don't force it upon people. Look for people of peace, people who accept it, who like you, who want to listen to you, who want to hear it, and who want to serve you in some way. That's who I'm sending you to. It's not a big mystery. And then the second one, it can be tough. We can get it wrong. Just like
We can guess in what good news is to people and sometimes get it wrong, just like we can sometimes guess what people want, you know, as a gift and sometimes get it wrong. But you know what actually works is if you just ask them. You say, simple question like, how can I pray for you right now? Or if you just ask some questions that lead to what's, you know, essentially, what's good news? What do you need? And then how can you become what God is trying to say to that need? I was at River Tree last week preaching this message, and they had just in the middle of a drive to gather furniture and other things like that to create a stockpile that they could then give away to moms and families that were trying to get out of domestic abuse. And it strikes me, it's a lot like that. Like they feel like God is sending to those families, to those moms. And you know what's good news to someone trying to put their life back together with kids and stuff and so on, having to start all over again? I mean, you can tell them that God loves them. You can tell them that, you know, that God is going to restore their broken lives. You can tell them that God can heal that like hole that is just, you know, like gaping in their life. But you know what's actually good news? How to become good news? Give them a couch to sit on. Give them beds and sheets and things like that. And those become the bricks and the stones that Jesus, you know, that God is in the actual way that God is rebuilding and restoring their broken life. So who is God sending you to? And how can you become what God wants to say to them? That's where we have to get to. But before we do, we have to let Jesus be good news to us. And sometimes we need help. I couldn't get there on my own. And so we're going to share this meal. And I want to, as we do it, you know, it's our family practice, if you will. It's our ritual, our rhythm as a family to share this every week, right in the kind of the middle of our service, our gathering. But as we do it today, I want you to ask yourself, where do I need to let the good news work in my life? Where do I need healing? Where do I need to be set free? And do I need help? Because what's going to happen after we share communion and we're doing the last song, there's going to be some people who are willing to pray with us. We'll be standing either in the back or along the sides or whatever. And if you need help, just like I did, they're willing to pray with you. Don't let pride get in your way. Just get up and go and say, this is where I need the good news. And they'll pray for you. So while we share this meal, which is meant to remind us of the help we have in Jesus Christ and the help we have in each other as one body, as one family, as we share it, let the Spirit work in your life. Let the light of Christ see in where you need restoration, where you need healing, where you need freedom. Because these are the gifts of God for the family of God that speak identity into our lives,
who we are and to whom we belong. And then when we sing that last song, don't miss the opportunity to get the help you need from your family. It's the body of Christ given for you and for you.